Money FM 89.3, best of weekends. International News Review.
Welcoming Steve Okun in our International News Review back to weekend mornings here. Steve, good morning. Welcome. Great to have you back.
Great to be back.
Steve, we got a lot to talk about. Let's start, Steve Okun, right here in our part of the world, which is Taiwan. Secretary of State Pompeo just announced that they are going to sort of release any restrictions on U.S. government officials having contact with the government in Taipei. This is a big departure from what has been the norm for decades between Washington and Taipei, likely to cause some challenges with Beijing, additional challenges. What do we know so far, and what's your take on it?
Well, there's about 260 hours left in the Trump administration, and we knew they were going to, we speculated they were going to do something on Taiwan to push back on China to try and box in the Biden administration. So it appears that this is the way to do it. So instead of Secretary Pompeo going to Taiwan, he's going to have the United States ambassador to the United Nations go to Taiwan. He's going to say that we're going to change our internal policy. It's really an attempt to box in the Biden administration. And we'll see if the Biden administration chooses to continue with the new Trump policy or to revert back to say we're going to have not so high level discussions between the government of the United States and the government of Taiwan.
It would be an easy way, right, would it not, for the Biden administration to just sort of let it ride and not deal with it and just keep that policy once they come into office? It would almost, if they're interested in opening up those dialogues even more with the Taipei government, it would be an interesting and an easier way for them rather than them having to bring up the topic themselves, would it not?
Well, no, but this is the Trump administration forcing the agenda, setting the agenda, because they have to be asked, are you going to recognize the new Trump policy, or are you going to revert back to the historic U.S. policy of there being one China and that the embassy is in Beijing, the recognition is with the government in Beijing, and that you are very silent on Taiwan and you don't send leaders there. You don't allow the leader of Taiwan to come to the U.S. other than occasionally to transit through. Yeah. So, no, this is the Trump administration forcing the Biden administration to make an affirmative decision on Taiwan. And, you know, I think it's not surprising, although it's not something that the Trump administration should be doing, but they do have the authority to do this for the next, 260 hours or so.
Yeah. The level that this is done, is this sort of that executive order type level? I know it's coming from the Secretary of State, meaning it can be overturned on day one if Biden decides to do it?
Yeah, I mean, so there's the law which dictates the relationship between the U.S. and China from a Washington, D.C. perspective that the Trump administration has no authority over. But over time, the executive branch has said we are not going to send, you know, high level diplomatic relations with Taiwan because that could be seen by the Chinese as violating that law. It would be up for the U.S. to decide whether it did or didn't. But it was, you know, over decades, the decision was we don't have high level diplomatic contacts. Now the Trump administration on its way out the door is reversing that. And the Biden administration will get to decide whether to reverse the reversal.
Interesting. I just saw on CNN just a short time ago that according to CNN sources talking to Pence staffers, that he is not coming out in favor of invoking the 25th Amendment, but he is, quote unquote, not taking it off the table either, which I thought was an interesting statement to say. All this coming, of course, on the heels of what we've been talking about yesterday and today here on the show, which was the events in Washington at the Capitol this past week. The notices like that, of course, the Democrats have said they're going to file the articles of impeachment on Monday. Where do you see this, all of this going, given our advanced time frame in terms of when Trump is going to be out of office?
Well, I think the majority of the country is very clear. He should not be president right now. The majority of the country is very clear. He should be held accountable for what he incited when it came to the insurrection that occurred at the Capitol building. The question is, how do you hold him accountable for that? And there's really, you know, kind of four ways to do that. The first, he could resign and accept admission, of course, of his guilt. Of course, he will never, ever do that. The second is to invoke the 25th Amendment, saying he is mentally incapable of being president. That is very difficult to do in such a short period of time. It's never been done against the will of the president since the amendment, you know, came out in the mid 60s. Right. So that's really not on the table. The third is to impeach him, convict him, and then disqualify him from ever running from office again. That's not going to happen before Inauguration Day. And so the fourth option is to hold him criminally liable after he leaves the White House. And I think that is probably where we're going to end up, because the other three, there's just not time for them to occur, or that the president will refuse, has already refused to resign.
Steve, I saw some comment that there was a possibility or an interest in even holding the impeachment after he leaves office. And I wasn't quite sure how that could actually happen, but apparently there's some way that it could happen. Are you familiar with that, what that would look like, if it's possible at all?
It's fully possible. I mean, the impeachment is that he has, if you are impeached, if you commit a high crime, misdemeanor, or treason against the United States, right, you then have a trial in the Senate to convict the person of that. The Senate can then go a step further to disqualify that person from ever holding federal office again. It's rare, but that has happened. It doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen while he is in office. So he can be impeached while he's in office, but then the trial would take place certainly afterwards. Right. And then the third step of disqualifying would, of course, take place after that. You may want to do that for a couple of reasons. One, you may want to be on the record saying that what he did was impeachable and that he was convicted for doing so. That would really be more for historical purposes, but it would also send a strong message to other Republicans not to support him or going forward. And then he's always, or, you know, of course, talking about running for president again, and you want to disqualify him from doing that. So the precursor to that would be an impeachment and a conviction. So there is real reason to do it. But boy, we're up in the air as to how it would get done, when it would get done, who would be the judge over that trial. If it's the president, it's the Chief Justice. What if it's the ex-president? Then who's the judge? All of these things would have to be figured out over time.
As usual, things are messier than have ever been messy before in Washington politics, and keeps getting more bizarre by the day, it seems, with unexpected consequences here. When you look at the Biden administration coming in, they've already made quite some strong statements about who they want to have in cabinet positions and things like that. They have been ramping up now for the better part of a month and a half or so on their own program to hit the ground running. What do his priorities look like, and any latest cabinet announcements that are of note?
Well, this is where the trial would really come in and change things, because if the Senate is going to hold a trial, that basically takes up all of the Senate's time. So you're not going to get his cabinet confirmed in that first week or 2 weeks. You're not going to get the legislation that is desperately needed when it comes to COVID relief, when it comes to additional stimulus. So that may play into the part of the calculus. Yeah. You know, does the House impeach him? Do you then not have the Senate trial, get the confirmations through, get the legislation passed that's needed right away, and then move on to the conviction? So it muddles all of that up as well. And then the question is, will Trump pardon himself? No president has ever pardoned oneself. And so if he self-pardons, is that make a criminal case brought by the Justice Department more likely for all of the crimes he's already committed that have been proven, but that also the incitement to riot, the inciting an insurrection. And then you're going to have that go to the Supreme Court as to whether it's constitutional for Trump to pardon himself. So it really muddies up, unfortunately, the business of government if we go through this and the Senate is debating this as opposed to debating legislation, which is why some people are saying, let the House impeach him, find out if there's a way to delay the Senate trial, let the federal criminal system move forward, and then you can always come back to that trial in the Senate.
But there is the reality of political capital, right? And at the moment, I mean, going into the new administration, one would assume that Biden would have a fair amount of political capital in store that he is going to need because of that basically razor-thin margin in the Senate to make sure that if there are things that he wants to get done, that he uses that capital on some of those things and not necessarily alienating any senators, for example, when it comes to going after Trump. You know, there must be a lot of math going on behind the scenes, as it were, when it comes to these decisions.
Well, the president always, or historically, maybe not anymore, but the incoming administration always has that honeymoon period, right, where you're typically given deference by the other side. We don't exist in this time anymore, but you're typically given deference in that first 100 days. Do you get that stimulus check out to people to go from $600 to $2,000? Can you get that through right away? Can you get through other stimulus that is needed to protect, to help the states recover from what is getting to be a worse and worse crisis? So all of that gets done right away. They'll have time to move things forward, and it will take time when it comes to infrastructure, when it comes to, you know, financing infrastructure, when it comes to increasing taxes to help to roll back some of those, you know, Trump tax cuts. That can happen a year, you know, in the a year two of the administration. But what do you want to do in those first critical 100 days? Do you want to spend 20 or 30 of them on a Senate trial, or do you want to have the Senate being confirming your appointees? And that's, yeah, we've never, there's no precedent upon to base this right now. So it's you know, it's just a terrible legacy of the tarnish that Trump has as what may go down as the worst president in American history.
Yeah, our regular viewer and listener Ian Chan is asking about the loophole in the system for Trump to try to pardon himself. You addressed it a little bit before, but it doesn't look like it would be possible. And he's also commenting on the fact that with the Senate and the House soon to be in Democratic control, it would be easier to actually impeach him at some point in time in the future. So you got two different things going on there between the pardon or self-pardon or whatever, and then the possible lined balance of power in an impeachment trial.
Well, the pardoning power is absolute with two restrictions. And one is you can't pardon somebody who's for an impeachment. So he can't pardon his prior impeachment. So that's one. And then the other is you can pardon only for crimes committed against the United States. So you can't pardon for state crimes. It doesn't say that you cannot grant a pardon to yourself. But at the same time, from a historical context, it says you have to grant a pardon. You grant a pardon to someone else. You don't grant a pardon to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you could argue that the language doesn't permit it. You could also argue that common sense doesn't permit it, because you can't be a judge and jury of your own conduct. That is not the way our judicial system works. It's not the way the British judicial system worked, which is upon which a lot of our constitutional basis comes from. But it's never been done. It's never been definitively decided. So if Trump grants himself a self-pardon, then what will happen is the Justice Department will take a federal case against him. Trump will say, you can't prosecute me because I've pardoned myself. It will then go up in the case will be stayed, and then it will go into the federal system, ultimately to the Supreme Court, to decide whether or not Trump has the authority to grant himself a pardon under the Constitution. If the Supreme Court says no, then the federal trial commences again.
Earlier this morning, we had Dane Chamorro on. I know you know Dane quite well from Control Risk here in Singapore. Dane, of course, is now the partner of the global risk and intelligence business at Control Risk in Washington. And we were talking about this timeline of when business might feel comfortable getting back into the, you know, into the fray, if you will, in America. And he brought up two points. One is business generally looks first at the state level. You know, you don't look at a federal business plan. And you look at doing business with California or Ohio or specific states. And so many businesses will be looking at that first. Secondly, he mentioned that it would probably be until, you know, maybe the summertime, when the vaccine has really been rolled out in a major way, that businesses within the U.S. would feel comfortable making more of their plans for 2021, just to see how that rollout goes and how businesses will re-engage. When you look at the angle of businesses here in Singapore and in ASEAN, what do you think their considerations will be? Will it be along those lines as they look at what's happening with this tumultuous time and then, of course, the change of administration in the U.S.?
Yeah, I look from a business perspective here in Southeast Asia, you're looking at the U.S. continuing to deal with three crises of the worst that it's ever had, the worst healthcare crisis in 100 years, the worst economic crisis in 80, the most civil unrest in 50 years and probably more than that now, but certainly at least going back to the 60s. And so what you're seeing now is businesses here are saying, we're not going to wait for the U.S. We have to find how we are going to move forward within the region. So it is going to accelerate the agency that the countries in the region feel going forward on TPP without the United States, going forward with RCEP, you know, of course, the United States not being part of that, China being part of that. And so you're going to see a continued move forward of we need to look for other markets than the U.S. And it's going to increase investment in the region. It's going to increase the interlocking relationships and network within the region. Everybody, you know, wants to see the United States come back to the multilateral framework because that is what has been best. But if the United States doesn't come back or if it takes longer than people had hoped for, they move forward without the United States. And they're certainly not going to let, you know, China lead. But China is going to be a big part of that. And it's going to be a big domestic market. And you're also going to see Chinese firms, which aren't going to be in the U.S. anymore, coming and setting up in Singapore to branch out into other markets. So long term, this is going to really bring more of a focus of investment and business within the region, not just as an export market so much.
Mm. Lots to keep an eye on, Steve. Thanks again, as always. We'll be seeing you back here again next week, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you during the week on somebody's TV show or somebody's radio show or something. You're all around town these days. But thanks for your insight today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, GVZ.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.